Right, friends, welcome this morning, and a very special welcome to Liz sitting there with Eunice, all the way from America, going back to Florida tomorrow, yes? All right. Well, it's lovely to have you with us. You are very, very welcome. And can I just say that, you know, sometimes you want to say something to someone and you just leave it. And there's a lady behind the bar called Meg, short lady, always smiles when we first come in. Lovely smile, lovely welcome. And I've been meaning to say that to her. This morning I did. And to my surprise, she said, "Today is my last day." Yeah. So I nearly missed the opportunity of telling her that I think it's a lovely welcome that she gives when we come in. Yeah. Well, she's been working here for some time, and now she's going to work at an estate agent's. And so we wish her all the best, don't we, eh? There we are. So, right, over to Jilly.
You get used to, you build the relationships. It's always sad when people go, but it's wonderful for her that she's moving on to a career that way. So I guess we don't necessarily practice Saints' Days, but I have to mention it's St. Patrick's Day today. and he was a great bloke. He brought Christianity to Ireland, and it was pagan before, so but we're all saints, obviously. We're all saints. We celebrate that we're all saints. But we thought we'd sneak in a little bit of Irish music at some point during, you know, we usually do. So, and our message from Bruce today will be God is in control. Isn't that good to know? What a relief. I can sit down now. So we're going to start by giving the Lord lots of blessing and honour. So we're going to sing blessing and honour, glory and power. Be unto the Ancient of Days, from every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. And then we'll see, Jesus shall take the highest honour. I'll just pray before we sing. Oh Lord Jesus, oh, we are so thankful that you are in control. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh Lord, and we thank you, I think most weeks, for being able to be here in this place, to witness to you in such a place as this. And we do lift Meg to you, Lord, as we learn that she's going into a new career. Lord, would you bless her and keep her? And Lord, may she come to know you in a deep way, Jesus, and accept you as her Saviour. So thank you, Lord, for all the opportunities that we have to share your gospel in this place and wherever we go. And Lord, thank you that this topic reminds us that you go ahead of us always. You've always prepared the way. So thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Amen.
Before the Ancient of Days.
So let us now come to our Lord in prayer. Let us remember that he loves to hear our prayers. The Lord is always available to hear and to answer our prayers. He is a loving God. He is a powerful God. He is a wonderful God. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we come to worship you. We come to acknowledge that you are the one and only true and living God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we also know that you are the true sovereign of this world and of each one of us. Lord, we accept you as our King of Kings and as our Lord of Lords. Lord, may you reign in the greedy world, ending war and all evil. We want you to know, Lord, that we will accept your sovereignty in our church fellowship and in our personal lives. Lord, our earnest prayer is that you will always be Lord of our lives. So, Lord, may you reign in all that we do. We pray for our loved ones that can't be here today. We think again of Stuart. Be with him at home, Lord. Be his close companion. Be his healer. Meet his needs. Keep him safe, Lord, we pray. Be with Rita, Lord. She has her second preparation for the operation this coming Thursday. And we pray, Lord, that the operation itself will follow soon. We pray for her granddaughter, April, still waiting for her operation. We pray for John and Margaret, can't leave the home on their own. Oh Lord, be their companion, keep them safe. We pray for Dennis, Joan, Sarah and Chris. Be with them as a family, Lord. And Lord, if they're listening to the worship today, may they draw comfort from the fact that you love them and you care for them. We pray for Sarah Jane. She's not with us today, Lord, but we pray that you will be with her and that you will equip her for her discipleship. And then, Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for Richard. We thank you for his ministry, and we pray that you would continue to work in his life in a wonderful way. We thank you for Jilly, O Lord. We thank you for her gifting. We thank you for the way she uses those gifts entirely in your service. And we pray, Lord, that as she talks with other people, sharing her faith, we pray, Lord, that the seed that is sown will truly bear fruit. We pray, Lord, for Brian. We thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, for all that he does. And Lord, as we think of Brian, we think of his son, David, and of his daughter. Meet their needs, Lord, we pray. And Lord, many of us this last weekend remembered the life of Jim and Lord, we thank you for all that we heard about how you have acted in his life. And we know, Lord, that you will continue to work in our lives, and we acknowledge that and we thank you. We know also, Lord, that you will be with Deborah. Lord, you know how much she loves you. We pray, Lord, you would continue to use her in your service. Be all that she needs. Be her companion. Be her strength. And we pray for Graham. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for his faith. Lord, we pray that you would be his close companion. Lord, he has memories that are not always helpful, but Lord, we know that he loves you. We know that he sometimes finds it difficult to accept things that happen. But Lord, we thank you for Deborah and for Graham, and we pray that you would continue to strengthen their relationship. We pray for Bruce. We thank you for him. We thank you for the way that he works within this fellowship. We thank you for all that he does, Lord, in your service. Lord, he works so hard, and we thank you for him. And Lord, we pray that when he is serving his parents, that you would give him strength and encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for the way that he helps both John and Margaret. We pray for Liz, who's come today, and Lord, we're glad to have met her. We pray that you would be with her as she makes the journey, first to the hotel by the airport, eventually onto the plane, and then back to Florida. Be her close companion, keep her safe, be with all her family and friends. Be, Lord, with Jean. Thank you, Lord, for the loyalty that she shows to Stuart back at home. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to give her the strength. Keep her, Lord, from any falls. Keep her safe. And equip her, Lord, for her ministry. We thank you for her. We thank you for her long-founded faith. We pray for Sarah. Lord, we thank you for Sarah. We pray for her. Lord, would you be her companion? Would you be her strength? Would you be her healer? And Lord, would you continue to use her as she reaches out and helps other people? We thank you for that kind of service. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen Sarah. We pray for Eunice and myself. Lord, we lay our lives before you, and we pray that we might become all that you desire. So, Lord, we bring these our prayers, and we thank you, because we know that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us, but we know too that he is alive today, and we can truly celebrate that we worship a risen, living Saviour. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
wonderful song that reminds us that he is above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. He was here before the world began.
Over to Jean, please.
This morning's reading of Scripture is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Heading, more than conquerors. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
That should be an encouragement to us all. Thank you, Julie.
So we're going to sing, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." And the last verse says, "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ alone stand."
And now we come to the message for today. God really is in control. We may not feel like that at times, but that is what Scripture teaches us. Why do I hold the Bible in my hand? It's because what I believe God has given me comes from God's Word. And it is God's Word that we must preach. It is God's Word that we must share. It is only God's Word. As created beings, we are in no position to judge God for what He does. One phrase theologians used to use to speak of God's authority is the sovereignty of God. And let's see what the Bible says about God's sovereignty. So here we are, number one. God's sovereignty is beyond comprehension. It's beyond comprehension. You know Job in the Old Testament? He said, how great is God beyond our understanding? True. Nothing can ever compare to God, His power and presence and awesome. When He speaks to us today from His Word, we cannot compare that Word with anything else. This is God's Word. So we must listen as He speaks to us today from His Word. We must listen. Unfortunately, sometimes we think we have a better idea of how we should live our lives and make our decisions, because we just can't understand something God is asking of us. We maybe want to question or argue or even rebel. In Romans 9, Paul used an interesting illustration to explain God's authority over us. This is what he says. Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? All right. We may not understand God's sovereignty, but I can tell you this, number two, God's sovereignty is eternal. God's sovereignty is eternal. In eternity past, before the time began, God selected certain individuals to have a special relationship with Him. And we can see how God has reigned throughout. And the next one, God's sovereignty confronts free will. If He is sovereign, where's free will? Some see a contradiction between divine sovereignty and free will, the latter of which is an often misunderstood term. My friends, our will is free in that He makes willing choices that have actual consequences. Yeah, you know, we have free will, we make choices, but they have consequences. Yet man's will is not morally neutral. Can't be, can it? No. Rather, it is in bondage to sin and without divine grace. The person who goes his own way chooses freely and consistently, here it comes, to reject God. It can't be all our free way. God's sovereignty confronts that. And next one, God's sovereignty affirms evangelism. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? Yeah? God's sovereignty affirms evangelism. In other words, we've got to get out and share the love of God. Many Christians use God's sovereignty as an excuse to not share about Jesus with unbelievers. They reason, if God has already elected certain people to salvation, why do I need to speak up or pray or talk to non-Christians about Jesus? But, yet, in Matthew 11:25-30, Jesus affirmed that absolute sovereignty of God, and at the same time, he invited sinners to himself for salvation. So, yes, we acknowledge God's sovereignty. God will reign in our lives. God reign in the world. But there is still need for us to evangelize, to get out there and talk about the Jesus that we are claiming. God's sovereignty still holds mankind responsible. Oh dear, that's a challenge, isn't it? His sovereignty still holds us responsible. So look, how can God be sovereign and hold man responsible for his actions? Well, the relationship between these two concepts is mysterious, yes, but it isn't contradictory. The Bible teaches that man is accountable to God for his actions. And as Paul said, God will repay each person according to what they have done. Next one. God's sovereignty doesn't need to be explained. We don't have to explain why he is sovereign. God is not required to explain anything to us. He has made this quite clear to Job, who felt that God owed him answers for the many things that had happened in his life. So, what does all this mean for us? Well, my friends, would you agree? The world seems to be out of control. Sin and evil are rampant. This makes it easy to think God doesn't care about what's going on or that he isn't capable of dealing with it. But that's rubbish. God does care and he is capable of doing whatever he wants. But he does it in his timing. The trust is well founded because that's exactly what God told Moses with regard to the Israelites when they were held captive in Egypt. Exodus 3. I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. I am sending you to Pharaoh. See, my friends, this is the same sovereign God today who sees us and is concerned about us and has sent his son to die for our sins and will return one day to deal with evil. The Bible tells us all these things and you and I can trust what it says. even when it may not seem like God is really in control. You know, my friends, God is in control. God does not like what happens. Yes, there has been given free will, and mankind has used it inappropriately. Oh dear, look at the situation today. Look between Russia and Ukraine. Look between Israel and Gaza. These things are not right. I think these things are evil, do you not? God cannot be pleased. But it is wonderful the way some people are going on, and they are not accepting what's happened, but they are doing their best to relieve much of the suffering that takes place. Oh, I haven't got any answers, but I do know this: God has, and He is reigning, and He will reign in this world. And although at times we might come and feel that, oh, what's the use? Well, I tell you this: when believers all come together, when God acknowledges us as His people, when Jesus returns and takes us to be with Him, when we join all believers in heaven, then, my friends, we will see that God has dealt with what we've left behind. God is good. He is sovereign. He rules. And believe it. Believe it. He is in control. I know in my past there have been things that could have led me up all sorts of horrible paths. But the Lord took control. And I was facing a different way and a different kind of life. I heard only this morning that our friend Bruce there suffered a lot in his early life as a young man. But the Lord took control. And look where he is now. He could have turned his back on God, but he didn't. Because God was and is in control. Praise God. Amen.
Sing it. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name.
Oh, glory.
splendour of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. How great is our God.
Can I just say that maybe different words, but when people wanted to worship God in the willows, the world, the local people, the councillors said no, but God opened this place, which began worship, began a church fellowship, and look, we're now looking to our own base, but we will never, I hope, stop our witness here in this place. Praise God. Let us make a circle. And let us say the grace together. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen. Hallelujah!